If you've shown up at Bethlehem with high expectations tonight, then I believe this is exactly the right place to find yourself. You're going to find exactly what you're longing for, just like those who came so many years ago. You know, in a fast-changing world, we come to realize there are some things that don't change, some things that stand throughout the ages, some things that were intended for all time. And this is one. It's the most beautiful story ever told. How one poor baby in a manger continues to capture the imagination of wide-eyed children every Christmas as they take in each inspired word, just as we saw here as Katie was sharing the story. How does this story captivate our imaginations, even though we've heard it over and over again and again, year after year? It's almost unimaginable that a world so far removed from these long ago events is still today longing to experience this infant foretold. This is the epic story of a child destined to save the world, whose own humble beginnings in this out of the way stable foreshadow a divine rescue plan that he who has himself become accessible to the least and the lost, even in our time today. Those living in darkness have seen a great light. To those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. There are no greater words to announce this most beautiful story. It's a proclamation of the good news that we are not left alone. Rather, in this divine human birth in Bethlehem, God has become approachable. This story, this is the message. God is not beyond reach. God has become approachable. He's not too distant to know, not too far away and unconcerned with our humanity. This story reveals to us that God has become one of us, a human being in his divine Son, this infant, Jesus, in a manger. What an unimaginable story. And words can hardly capture the incredible drama of the incarnation of God. And in this way, yet the prophets, they did foretell it. God forecasted. The book of Matthew points to this prophetic announcement of Isaiah long before it's fulfilled in Bethlehem. He said, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Emmanuel, God with us. This innocent, beautiful, helpless baby born in a stable is Emmanuel, is God with us. John the Apostle, he can't contain the immensity of this moment, saying we have seen him and it's glorious. He describes Jesus in all his power and glory as the Word who is eternally with God in the beginning of his gospel. He then shares this incredible mystery. It's almost as if it shifts. So the Word, the incredible Word, became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. It's possible that this story reveals something we never thought possible, that God could become within reach. Think about it, God within reach. I invite you to take a moment with me to imagine taking a new baby into your arms. Our first response is probably to be, oh, so very, very careful because this little thing is fragile. Be careful. Then you see their little features, and we cannot help but be just in awe of this little human being. And we start to talk to her in cooing noises, making sounds that we never thought possible out of an adult. Ooh, this is such a pretty little baby. And then we begin to gently gather her a little closer in our arms, and we look upon this incredible gift of life. And we begin to become calm as we experience the joy of a new relationship beginning. It's a moment filled with potential and awe of a new story unfolding. And our guard comes down. Our guard drops. And we find ourselves at peace. In that moment, this tiny little baby doesn't complain, doesn't push away, doesn't reject being embraced. She simply, without judgment of any kind, accepts us as we are. The birth of Christ tells us that God is within reach. For unto us a child is born, a son has been given to us. You know, if our view of God has been wrapped up in only an Old Testament image of the God thundering from mountaintops, bringing destruction and judgment upon sinners, a God who's too lofty and unapproachable for broken human beings, well, then we ought to be shaken by this story in Bethlehem, that God would come to us like this. Yet this is the message. This is the story unfolding. So let's go to the Gospel of Luke as the living God is about to invade human history in an obscure birth event in Bethlehem and Judea. It centers around people who seem to be those who don't matter. They really seem to be society's discardable, at least in their time. Yet we're drawn to their story. We're fascinated, actually, that God would choose to use these most unlikely people to be part of his story at the very center of human history. You know, Mary, at the time, is about to become an unwed mother. Joseph is a discredited stepdad. The shepherds are unclean, literally sticky and stinky and dirty. Unclean participants for Jewish worship. And to rulers on thrones that are far, far away, all of them are unimportant by any worldly measure. These people seem displaced or out of place in a story like this. At least it seems that way. These are probably the least likely we'd expect to be chosen for an unimaginably beautiful divine encounter with the King Messiah. And yet Luke records this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree, a census would be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. How would you expect the divine creator of the universe to prepare for the coming of his one and only son? Probably with the finest the world could offer. The best accommodations at a 5-star resort, world-class doctors and physicians on call 24/7. But that's not the story we hear. And we're perplexed with this greatness of God's Messiah contrasted with this extremely humble circumstance of his birth. It's almost mind-boggling, really. And yet it reveals so much about who this Messiah is and so much about who he has come to save. Joseph and Mary at this very moment are reminded that God is with them, and they are introduced to Emmanuel. Maybe you need that reminder right now. Maybe when you turn off this service and say goodbye or leave this beautiful sanctuary tonight, you face difficulties and uncertainties that seem insurmountable. Things as far as you can tell that are caused randomly at best or at worst by the tyranny of powers that be. Let the story of Jesus remind you that God is at work in what seems like random, unexpected life circumstances. Don't give up. The story is still being told. The plan is yet unfolding. Helpless and cast out in a Judean winter, Joseph and Mary are right where they're meant to be. In Bethlehem, in the city of David, the birthplace of the promised Messiah. And the shepherds living out in the fields nearby at night, they are right where they are meant to be. There's a remote island in the Faroe Islands in the Kingdom of Denmark where Google Street View hadn't yet been able to map the terrain, primarily because there were very few streets, so it's hard to get a street view with no streets. So a request was made to Google's tracking unit proposing a Google Sheep View. That's right, a sheep view. So to make Google mapping possible, Faroe Islanders proposed mounting little cameras, 360-degree cameras, on the backs of roaming sheep who would then provide for the world images of the remote beauty of the island. Jeff, is that going to work? He's shaking his head no. Google thought the idea, however, was sheer brilliance, and they supplied everything that was needed except the sheep. So the sheep view project actually was a complete success. And it goes to show, if there's a wool, there's a way. The nativity story reveals that God's divine entrance into humanity is sheer brilliance. Without cameras, without social media, God called on the most unsuspecting witnesses to provide a shepherd's view of the story unfolding. A shepherd's view. The words provide us with this kind of GoPro account of what seemed to begin as an unwanted journey, but was instead the promised outcome of the infant foretold. Luke continues, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." We come on Christmas Eve with high expectation of experiencing maybe just a sampling of what those shepherds heard as these skies exploded in brilliance and glory. You know, the music we've heard tonight is absolutely beautiful. It's wonderful. But oh, what it must have been like for those shepherds. Again, it can only begin to capture our imagination of this inexpressible glory foretold. But what intrigues me most about this whole account is what this angelic chorus invited the shepherds to see. He said, "This will be a sign to you. You, stinky, dirty shepherds, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. A Savior is born to you." And they are invited to go see it for themselves. The unapproachable, inaccessible God of creation extends an invitation to come and see. Come near. Come experience your newborn King. He is the Messiah for all. And here's what they do. They put away their inhibitions. Their fears turn to wonder, and their caution goes with the wind as they respond to this greatest news the world has ever heard. Luke writes, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go see. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger." You know, it's hard to know if they saw anything that would indicate that this child is anything more than a poor baby. But the secret is out. The message has reached them, and they knew They were looking upon God's promise to all people. God has not abandoned his people. He has sent his son in the greatest expression of love that the world has ever known. God entered human life as a baby in his one and only son. And there, before him, he lay. Do you know what this story means? It means that God loves you. God has not abandoned you. God loves you. And like the shepherds that night, he welcomes you to approach him with confidence that he accepts you as you are. The Apostle Paul, he writes in his letter to Titus in 3:4-7, he says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy, God's love and grace. God loves you." I found this story that seems to fit for our times. Mary Daniel hadn't seen her husband for 114 days. Due to the coronavirus restrictions at the senior care facility where her husband lived. He, Steve, was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 7 years ago and moved into the care facility, and she had visited him every night and would get him ready for bed. But when the pandemic hit and the facility closed, she couldn't see him anymore. Mary was worried about her husband spending so much time alone, and she was desperate to find a way to stay connected. She knew in his dementia, he would either wither or die. So out of the blue, the corporate office called her and offered her a part-time job. She was willing to do any job as long as it offered a chance to get inside. And what they ended up giving her was a dishwashing position. The job allowed Mary to see her husband regularly. And she said, "It is worth it to be able to visit him. And I can already just tell the difference in his demeanor. It has made a world of difference for me." She said her husband now feels love, something he missed out on when they were separated. "I'm so grateful," she says. "I'm so lucky, so fortunate. I want to be with him every day." You know, this has been the all-too-real experience for so many, and a reminder of the lengths that love takes to be together. But it reminds us also of something even more incredible, the lengths God has taken to be together with us. Emmanuel, God with us, has made himself not only accessible, but approachable in his Son, the Messiah. Tonight, we are reminded that some things never change. God has not given up on humanity. God has not given up on you. The most beautiful story ever told has been told once more for you and for me. For unto us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. Come to Bethlehem. Come and see Jesus, the baby who came for you and for me. Not so long ago in ancient times, but right now, he is God with us, Emmanuel. So come to the manger tonight. Accept the gift that is given to you. The one and only Son of God, Savior of the world. He is beautiful. He's approachable. He is Christ, the Lord. John the Apostle, he compels us. To all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We are invited tonight to come to the manger, to find what we are looking for and longing for. To trust Jesus and receive him and follow him for all eternity. I invite us tonight in a time of prayer just to remember what God has done for us, to celebrate the joy of a Savior born to us, and to embrace him, to receive him. He's here for us. So please join me in prayer. If you're online with us, join me in a time of prayer. Gracious God, thank you that you have come to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in this humble beginning, in a manger, in a stable, you have proclaimed peace on earth. Lord, we believe that Jesus is our Messiah, that he is your Son, that he came to this earth for a purpose, to go to the cross to die for my sin. Lord, I trust in Christ I am forgiven. Lord, we ask that you fill us with the unimaginable joy experienced by the shepherds, by Mary, by Joseph that night. And Lord, fill us with your life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We cannot contain him because he is the most beautiful story ever told. Luke writes that when the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And we tell the story once more tonight as we come to this table. The shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they were told. At the table tonight, we are moving forward to the end. The Bible tells us that the redeeming work of God in history, it begins in Christ the Son in the manger, and it culminates in his life and his death and his resurrection and his return. So the Christmas story must be told because it is central to this point in human history. So Mary knew that he was much more than her infant child. She knew he was too great to be her exclusive possession. He was given to the whole world. And the table tonight reminds us that he is for you and for me.